Shalom, everyone. Welcome to the Justice Network webinar, Cyclone Freddy Relief, how you can help affected families and villages in Malawi, with Upe Mike Mwampeta. We're so happy that you joined us today so we can help educate you on the effects of Cyclone Freddy and the current situation in Malawi. The destruction of Cyclone Freddy has left the Malawian people without homes, clean water, and basic necessities. While the government is doing some of its job to assist the affected people, there are many villages that don't have, they're needing assistance. The Center for Disaster Philanthropy says, according to March 31st, approximately 659,278 people were displaced in 747 camps. 2.3 million people have been affected in Malawi, and more than 1.6 million people are severely food insecure in Malawi. My name is Beth Thomstein, and I'm the overseer of the Justice Network. Here at the Justice Network, we are empowering and uniting individuals to take action in key areas of society that include homelessness, orphans, widows, abortion, human trafficking, righteousness in government, education, and race, religion. We are networking people, organizations, and communities across the globe dedicated to restoring biblical justice. And one of the ways we do that is by hosting educational webinars so that we can learn what to pray and what action is needed. I remember the first time when Upe, he was telling me about Cyclone Freddy. He sent me a bunch of pictures and videos, and my heart immediately went out to the people, especially when I watched the video of people screaming and panicking as they saw loved ones being swept away by the raging waters. I have such a love for orphans and widows and the homeless. And I just thought, and from Malawi as well, since we've been there, and I immediately felt that we needed to host a Justice Network webinar so we can raise prayer support and finances to help the people of Malawi. So I want to thank each one of you who are here live on this broadcast and those who will watch the replay. Thank you so much for choosing to invest your time to be a part of this webinar. So to promote biblical justice, we are so blessed to have as our guest speaker my good friend, Upe Mike Mwampeta. He's the administrator of Canaan International Ministries. And during this webinar, you're going to learn about the aftermath of Cyclone Freddy and its effects in Malawi. You're going to learn about what's going on in the country, what people in the affected villages need, what Upe and his team are doing, and how you can help Malawi in this time. Now, I'm so excited for you to meet my special guest. Like I said, he's my close friend, Upe. We've been friends for almost 11 years, and my husband and I met him in 2012. We went on a mission trip in June over to Malawi, Africa. Upe was our interpreter, and he also translated our English when we went to the villages and we ministered and so he translated our English in the native language, and then also when we spoke and did the sermons on Sunday mornings. And so we just immediately fell in love with him and his wife. And our friendship has just developed over the years because my husband and I have gone to Africa for 5 times now. And so each time we go over there, we get to minister with him. And we also ministered alongside with not only Upe, but Cindy Roberts, who is the niece of T.L. Osborne. And she was a missionary over there. So I'm just so thankful for him, his friendship, and for WhatsApp, because that way we're able to talk and text for free. And so we're very grateful to have Upe and his wife Esther in our lives. So now I'd like to give you a little bit of background about Upe Mike Mwampeta. Okay. His wife, her name is Esther, and they have a little daughter named Cindy. They live in Malawi, Africa, also known as the Warm Heart of Africa. Upe has a pastor's heart, and he spends great amounts of time caring for the people of Malawi. He has a Bachelor's of Arts in Hospitality and Tourism Management and serves as administrator of Canaan International Ministries. The ministry emphasizes on building homes and supporting widows, completing hand-dug water wells in villages that lack clean available water, and he also teaches and equips pastors and leaders that live in the remote regional villages of the country so that the gospel is proclaimed to all those who are not saved. Upe is regularly sought after by regional chiefs during times when the village is in need of support. What inspires Upe and Esther to help the needy where they live is their own personal testimony. They both grew up in orphanages. It was there that they learned the concept of family and how important it is to make a godly difference in the ones of who have no little. They're very grateful to God and the missionaries from America and other countries that have journeyed with them and shared their love and time and the resources with the precious people of Malawi. So welcome, Upe. I want to thank you so much for being here and agreeing to share today on Cyclone Ready Relief and how people can help. So if you'd like to say an opening prayer and then begin your teaching, I would appreciate that.
Yes, please. So we close our eyes in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time given to us. Thank you that you're bringing the whole world as if we just crossed, Lord. We give you all the praise for that. Thank you that we're able to share about what's happening here in Malawi. And as we're starting this meeting, Lord, we ask for your intervention, for your Holy Spirit be around us and among us, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for each and everyone that has spared their time so that they can attend this meeting. In the mighty name of Jesus, bless each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Okay. So if you want to give a little brief background before we start the PowerPoint, Upe.
All right. I'll start with here in Malawi, the name Cyclone Freddy. We normally have rainy season in Malawi, and when the cyclones were happening, it was during the rainy season. But we have never had such thing because in rainy season, normally, sometimes it rains 3 days non-stop, and it's normal for that. But then when it started, 3 days started getting into 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, a week, and second week still raining, everybody was just amazed. I mean, they were asking questions, like, as what's going on? I remember some people were saying maybe we need to build Noah's Ark. It was kind of like people didn't expect a lot of water. And the guys, the ones that deal with the weather, and they started reporting to everybody in Malawi saying these are cyclones. And the name Freddy comes from the guy who discovered the cyclone. So if the first guy discovers the cyclone, then they name after his name. So the guy that discovered this cyclone, his name is Freddy. That's why it became to be Cyclone Freddy. And so it left a lot of chaos when it was happening. There was too much water that we have never experienced before in Malawi. And a lot of them, I think, will be able to be shown in the pictures that we have. And in that way, then I can explain better. So it is a rainy season in Malawi. Yes, it has been a rainy season from November, December, January, February, and March. And those are the rainy season in Malawi. And in April, the rains are supposed to stop. So, but this time, even in April, the rains did not stop up to now. And then with the disaster that we had, we have had no power, and they're promising that maybe next week we'll have power stability. So, which means we haven't had power since it started. Yeah. So a lot of the grief can happen when we watch these videos and when we see these photos that my friends and myself went around taking into the different people that have been so much affected. And also, before we get further, the government announced it as a state of disaster, which a lot of people have also, a lot of countries, including America, a lot of neighboring countries have also been able to assist with different things that they could give, money, food, fuel. And so with the, as we get the photos, I'll be able to explain what the government has done, because some photos are showing the real massive damage that some areas that completely got damaged, and how the government is helping with that, and some areas that the government hasn't been able to help, which are the areas that I have been able to go to and find the people in that way. So that's what I can give as a brief for now about the Cyclone Freddy.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Upe. And I know, just to let the audience know, like you said, they're still working on electricity there. The reason why you have lights on is because you have a generator in there in your house to help you to get. Yeah. Otherwise, no, because I know I've tried to, we were going to try to get on Zoom the other day, and you said, well, it's dark. I can't. We need to wait till the afternoon. So if anyone's wondering, if you're saying, why are we not, what, you know, if they don't have electricity, why are you there? It's because you got fuel.
Yeah, I'm using generator. I had to go and buy some gasoline to put in a genset. And so that's when I told Troy that the light was too much, because I'm trying to have just right from the generator. It's not used for electricity. We haven't had electricity right for close to 2 months now. Close to 2 months, I could say. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know, because when you told me that you didn't have electricity, you had mentioned your food and the kitchen, you know, the refrigerator, everything was spoiled because you didn't have electricity. So that's just, I just wanted to explain why you had electricity. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and we'll be able to share some slides, PowerPoint for the people here.
Pavuta matope. Akubwera kwa gumuka kandi kupiri kaya uono ngerat uono ngerat matopia matopia.
I know Mamunu Samazi, Mulani Manumba Minim, Manumba Minim, only two Afitanimazi, Usoko Kanga, who saw the one at Manumba Kameneka, Manumba Kameneka, and only two at Tawapo Kamenefa, at Tawapo, only two at Tawapo. Women only sing one Yamazede, Maja Bonica would ask her direction, From where I'm at Zay, I saw Mamu Zay, and so yeah, I think I'm.
Okay, did you want to share a little bit about those two pictures, Upe?
Yes, the first one, we had the mud strikes when there was a guy that was talking about matope. Matope means mud strikes. Okay, so when the rains kept on falling and these mountains that we have around the town of Brantyre, the mud started coming from the mountains and are going towards the residential area for the people, where first it was the mud that started, and then the water came with big stones that were rolling that damaged a lot of homes of people and buried people alive. And the government has been working on still digging some of the remains of people that passed on during that, the first video that you saw of those mud sliding. And so that damaged a lot of people's homes. It took a lot of people as well. And some people were buried alive. Some we think won't be able to be found, because up to now, Two days ago, when people went there, they said the place is smelling bad, looking like they didn't find all the bodies that they're supposed to find. And there's nothing we can do, because big trucks, these bulldozers cannot go there and dig, because the place is completely displaced, out of place. And the second one was about a video of water. It used to be a river, and then the river flooded as well. and also wiped some of the homes of people, not the whole village, but some of the homes of people were also wiped out with the water. And some up to now is still missing. Some bodies were discovered later after the rains have slowed down. So that's a brief I could explain so far for those two videos that we have just watched.
Okay. Thank you so much. We definitely need our prayers still. Okay. Go to the next one here. Do you want to share a little bit about those?
Yes. I want to share something about that as well. A lot of those places you see in the first place we saw in the first video, we have also seen the bridge that was there and that was also destroyed because of the rains. That bridge has also marked the other people that couldn't cross still to come to the other side because people had to go back to their homes, but they tried, it failed. So some people started putting sand in those bags that you saw so that they could make that to go around. And also then you saw that there were too much water this side and the other side was a market. The market was also washed away with people. Of course, people were hiding inside their shops. And some shops here in Malawi, how they do it, it's a shop, but also behind the shop is a house. Like some people prefer to live with their commodities together so that even when thieves come, they should be able to know that someone is trying to break out. So all the people that were living in their shops, a lot of them were washed out with water as well. Some got stuck to something. Maybe they got a hold of a tree or a tree branch, and those were able to be rescued. But a lot of them also were washed out with the water. And I'm sorry you'd be seeing me having this closer by because I thought I would pass that by now. But still, even watching these videos right now, I didn't just expect how much impact and how much people we have lost and some still displaced, they can be still found. Yes. So I could share about that right now for that.
Yes. Yeah. Our hearts go out to you, Ubi. And so, the next picture actually that we're going to show is going to be one of the shops, marketplaces, homes in Blantyre, just like you were talking about how some people that their shops are destroyed. So, and feel free because I know some of these videos are a little bit longer. If you want to say something too while they're playing, you can too. But, I'll show this next, picture and then we can talk about that as well. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I had to pause on that one because that's the main market in Blantyre by the name Ndilandi. That's more of what I was explaining in the previous video, but I meant to explain it on this video. But that's where a lot of people lost their businesses, and that's where they lost their families that were living in the homes that were close to the businesses. And also some lost their cars. Their cars got carried away with the water, with the floods. It was just too much chaos, on that day when that was happening in Ndilandi market in Blantyre here in Malawi. Yes.
Yeah, we saw people carrying you could see people carrying stuff frantically across the road, you know, trying to save some of that stuff too from their shops. So, okay.
Yes.
Go to the next one here.
Places like those, when we watch, as we're watching, we see their whole homes being taken away. You know, there are places that people build their homes. And if people build their homes, you have to understand that all these years, it has been raining and the rains never affected those homes. Until this year, when the rains, the floods were just coming, it didn't even matter which position of their homes were. Of course, a lot of homes that were close to the valleys are the ones that were completely gone. But even those that were on the just a good normal surface, you find out that a lot of homes were just being swiped out, just as you could see in those videos. And some of those videos you're seeing, nobody was expecting the water that they were coming. This is why it's unlike USA in America. I mean, you have tornado warnings. You guys get warned that there's tornado coming. In Malawi, we don't have those sirens that can go off to say there's cyclones coming, there's floods coming, because nobody expects the water just happened, because it has never happened in the history of Malawi. And so that's why you see those homes being gone, and some people are screaming that we're in the safe place, but there was no way they could go back in the house to save somebody, to say, okay, let's go grab something out, because then the floods just come out of wazoo and just come and show up just like that. Yeah, so those are the videos they're able to see there. I'm sorry, I knew that I was supposed to pause on some places, but I just feel an urge to explain that still. Yeah.
Yes. No. Yeah, we thank you for that. And I know, those are houses where those people couldn't afford the more costly materials like the bricks and all that. So that, you know, the brick houses are the ones we'll see later on in the pictures. We'll see some of those, how some of those houses fell, but some of them were still there. But some of these other ones, they were people that didn't have the finances to purchase more costly materials. So that's why a lot of these houses really were destroyed. So, okay, we'll go ahead and show this next video here. Yeah.
What is that? What is that?
What is
that? What is that?
What is that?
What is that? What is that? What is that? What is that? What is that? What is that? What is that? What is that?
Oh, Bray, I'm sorry you had to watch this again.
It's okay. That video will be followed, of course, with photos. But that video it was the really heartbreaking of the whole Cyclone Freddy. Because when one house was being gone, you'd say maybe there were two people in the house. You'd estimate maybe there were kids that were gone, maybe two or three. But that video that we just watched, that was the whole entire village, the whole entire village, a village that had maybe 16, 17 to 20 homes, which had people in it. It was time that people were just having a good time at home. You know, they were not in the workplaces. They were not, somewhere else, you know. They were in their homes, and then when the water came, and that was also typical in a rural village, part of Brantyre, but also part of Chilazulu district, where people normally villagers don't build their homes with modern bricks or with cement. They normally use use whatever they can manage. Normally they just mold bricks without making them stronger. And they don't buy cement. And so it was easier for the water just to carry them. As you watch the video, you can see people actually in the water being carried away. Some you can see that they are holding on to a tree branch. And the other that have been also been rescued, the ones that are shouting and crying, or they should just watching others that were taken away, carried away with the water. And later on, 2 days, some were being found that have been drowned. Some, they never got found, as I said, I explained. And a lot of them being injured, they're still in the hospitals. Yes, so that's what I can explain on that. And then I can explain more when then we see the photos of the remaining.
Yes, okay. Yeah, that movie is very touching. Okay.
Yes.
After that one,
we saw the photo. If you take a closer look to the photo, you find out that this village was below a hill. Or I can say a little mountain. And the water started from that mountain. First, it started also as the mudslides. And then water followed with heavy water followed there. You could see where the mountain, where the trail is starting from. Where you see all these people around, that's where the homes of people were. I think the other photo will show. You could see that this is a whole village that has been swept. Those people that were crying there, you are able to see on that picture right there. Where you seeing around, those were homes of people that you saw in that video being swept. The whole village was swept away. And also, while we are still on this one, that's where I could explain more about the campsites. Where the government is helping. When these people, their homes were taken away, their crops, their animals, everything that they were trying to raise on there after it has been washed away. That's when people had, the government has to introduce the campsites. And in the campsites, whenever they were receiving the donations from different people, from different countries, even our neighboring countries, America, a lot of countries helped. And so when they were receiving, when they're receiving those help, that goes straight into the camps where people have nothing. They have nowhere to go. They have lost everything. So they're staying in the campsites where they're being helped, food in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. And their shelter is there, the camping. People have provided tents, and also the government and the donation they're getting from other countries have had also clothes to those people as well. So I could explain that more because we have seen the mass where a lot of people were washed out. Yes. You can put this one. This one I have also to explain. I'm sorry for that. Before we go to, yes, this one. This one is a demarcation. I can say what's a good English to use here. A barrier between two countries. Okay. The other side is Malawi. The other side is Mozambique. And all those you're seeing there are offices, government offices. Malawi Revenue Authority, MRA, which plays a bigger role of seeing the things that are imported into the country. The offices of police, and a lot of government offices that checks between Mozambique and Malawi and Mulaza, what we call it Muloza border. That's where you can see all those all those government things are swallowed in water. The water is just in there. And so that's why I had to explain there. So those people are using those little canoes to transport people from one side that have to go back to the other side. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, on.
Way back from where we're coming.
Do you want to share a little bit about that bridge?
Yes, I remember on that day, that's why I wanted to pause again, but there's too much, so I just wanted you to keep going on that part only. On that day, that bridge was washed away. It was also the same day the chiefs, as a chief of a certain village, called me for help, because of the work that we have been doing before. They called me to assist in getting, I carried 12 bodies from the morgue because the morgue was full of, the morgue was full of people. The morgue was full of, dead bodies. And also, the government ambulances to carry the remains of the people. They ran out of, there was a shortage of transportation in short. So they called me because we have a ministry pickup that I was able to carry 12 bodies. I wish I would have taken photos of those, but in Malawi, it's very rare to take photos of funeral. As their culture, sometimes people get furious with you. They feel like you don't have the sympathy. And so right there when we reached there, we had no way of crossing. So people had to carry with the bodies on that little bridge you're seeing. They had to carry with 12 bodies. They had to carry in and go in the village where the people had to have a burial ceremony. So this was also one of the toughest days for me, because I normally haven't seen bodies, people. Normally I know they have to be in a coffin or something. But then I had to see, witness people putting about 12 bodies in a truck. And then we had to drive there, and then they had to carry one by one to cross on that little man-made bridge. I mean, the villagers made that just to get through. So yeah, it was one of the toughest days as well.
Yes, and that was one of the mornings when the chief had called you and asked you to do him a favor. So I know that the chiefs ask you and your ministries to do a favor, and that was one of the big favors that they'd asked you to do that morning. So. Yeah. Did you want to share a little bit about this first one?
Yes, I have to share on those photos now. Now is where yes, now these photos you're seeing now, this is now me now, going in the villages, finding out there are some people that didn't want to go, into the campsites, because they decided to still remain behind and also, defend the remaining things that the cyclone did not take from them. Because if they could have just been going to the camp, that could have meant people, the other people, see, somebody's, we have a say here in Malawi, that somebody's misfortune is somebody's fortune. Like someone losing something and then some people are gaining something out of it. So we have some thieves that would steal the remaining of somebody's house, because definitely they were also devastated that they have lost something. So some people refused to go to the campsites, and they had to remain behind and make a temporary shelter for them to hold their families. And they have no hope, I mean, of building. Of course, they have no materials. They cannot manage. These are just poor people. As you know, that Malawi is the poorest country, and people losing stuff like that takes forever for them to rebuild. And so if you can see these shelters, it's something that they just, a structure that can take them forever. These are the people that would need a lot of help, would need even to start a house from scratch. And some as we watch the photos, were also, they had to remain behind. Yes. Yes. So now it's like the first photo we saw was the beginning of building for this man, was building this little shelter.
Okay, do you want to share? That's a picture of your church, and your church was a refuge. You want to just quick, like, share how that your church was a refuge for different people?
Yes, sorry. On my screen here, when you were sharing, sometimes the photos were dragging. So the photo of the church, I just saw it just in a, yes, there. Now I see it fully because I just saw it a little. I'm sorry. I think the network was dragging. So this is our church. It's incomplete, the other side. And the other side also, the cyclone took the walls down. We are in the center of the village where a lot of people also lost their homes. Some of them did not lose their complete homes, but one wall fell. And at that night, at that evening, it was not safer for them to live in their homes. So we opened our church that every family had to come in. And we had about 45 families in the first place. And the following day, we had about 70 families that were sleeping in this shelter because the rains could not get in it. I mean, the wind was blowing. They could freeze. I mean, it was very cold for them. Of course, we said no for them to put firewood in there to make fire because that could have damaged the roofing of the church. But then people, we hosted people. We opened our church as a campsite for almost 4 days for the people until we couldn't feed them. And so we took the matter into the hands of the government, and they came with the military trucks to carry the people into the campsites where they had to go. And some people still didn't go because then they had to remain with their homes that were broken. Yes.
Did you want to share a little bit about that?
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm used. I know I was supposed to be talking in between, but right. Then sometimes I'm good. I'm okay.
No, all right. Yeah.
So in our church, as a ministry, we still took some precautions. We still tried to raise some money. And we bought some clothing, some buckets were also bought. We bought food that we had a lot of families. We had a lot of families that that we had to feed. So a lot of people, like I remember, we had about 70 families, and then we only remaining off of some about 19 families that we haven't been able to give them food because we ran out of the resources and money to do that. But then ever since our church, we opened it as a refugee camp. And then when the people went back in their homes because some needed, we just had to buy plastic paper to cover only the wall that fall. So people moved back in those homes, but they had no food. They had no clothes. They're still in need of those because even the clothes that we share couldn't. People had to have a pair of clothes to change. Like we only gave them each one set, but like then, they need more, and they need more food. They need more of everything. But as a church, as a ministry, we're still on the ground trying to find help that we could help these people.
Okay. Well, the people sure look happy. I love their beautiful smiles. And I know when they're handing the suits, I know that you had mentioned to me that a lot of these men were school teachers. And so they needed clothing for work, you know. And so that's why you said you went and you got some used suits. And so so that's great. And those little there was a little tiny fish. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but there was a bunch of little tiny fish that was in the food that they gave too. And so, anyways, that's great. So I appreciate that. So let me just ask you a few questions here. Now, I know, I mean, just watching that one video where, you know, we saw the water just wash people away, you know, and so, I mean, that's just traumatic just almost even watching the video. So, I mean, I can't even imagine everything that you've seen over there and all that other people have seen and heard. So how has the trauma of the cyclone affected life, you know, for all the people in Malawi? And then have you been able to deal with the emotions from the trauma? And how, you know, are they able to deal with them, or what are you witnessing there?
Yes, I would start with the trauma. The trauma has been very big. The church, a lot of churches, a lot of different religions, but I'll basically talk much on Christianity because I'm a full devoted Christian. And, people, we had to preach. We just had to preach Christ to them. We just had to tell this is not the end of the world. You know, it has happened. We have watched it in the videos to the other countries. Now it has happened in our country. And we said it's a time to regroup. It's a time to seek God more than ever before, because that's the only hope we had, because there was no one to stop the rains apart from God. There's no one to bring a lot of help apart from God himself opening doors, you know. So the trauma started coming down because people started believing more, started trusting more in God, like every Sunday, even before Sunday. I remember last Tuesday. Now we talked, I should say yesterday, Monday, because today's Tuesday. Monday, people called me at the church and apostle said, my son, you have to come to church and you have to preach to people. There are a bunch of people here. They said that they're not, there's not church time, but they still have come and they just want to hear the word of God. So that has also, it has brought an impact where people have started seeking God more than never before. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that they were seeking God, because, you know, we're just kind of wondering, you know, if you have seen people come to know the Lord because of this. You know, a lot of times trauma causes people to, you know, they're just desperate and they call out for God, or, you know, maybe they see something miraculous where, you know, somebody else's loved one dies, but their family members are all safe. So, I mean, have you seen or heard a bunch of people that are just coming to know the Lord because of this tragedy?
Yes, we have had a lot of those. Some of them have become to be part of my friends that have lost. There's this other guy that lost all his three children. His wife is in the hospital recovering. But the guy keeps coming to church. The guy used to go to church. He is a Presbyterian. But ever since this happened, and he said he was in the middle of the water, and he don't know where he found the strength to get out of that water. And I told him, I said, see, God works through miraculous way. And this is just one guy I'm talking about, but there are a lot of people that came into realization that they needed more of God. Yes, to answer just that question, they needed more of God. And it's like a revival is happening, also part of it. I could say that, because a lot of people now are wanting to know more because they said our strength couldn't have saved us. We know for sure because we know where, how much we go every day and how much strength we use. But said for us to get out of that, that was a different strength. And so we tell them it can only be God. I mean, nothing else.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I remember a picture that you sent me, and we don't have it on the slides here because you said it was going around. I don't know if it was on Facebook or social media or you know, something. And but it was a shop that it said Psalms 91 on the top. And
yes,
you said that
yes.
You said the whole village was destroyed, but this one shop that had Psalms 91 on the marquee or whatever top, that stood still. And that was a testimony to everyone all across the area that God protects.
that right there started the issue. We could say more of revival started because that shop, besides the shops, besides it, there were all other shops that were almost built like it, and all the other shops were gone. I mean, just that one shop remaining with the scripture on it, and so everybody had to read the scripture. Some people didn't know what the scripture said, and so everybody had to read the scripture, and so that is where also a lot of people, it was going on Facebook, it's there, on Twitter, on Instagram, on WhatsApp, and almost on each social networking page. I think it's been there. So that was good. Yeah, that's what started.
Yeah, and I bet you there's a lot of people are reading and quoting and praying that Psalms 91 over their families and their house and everything now because of that. They see that. And
yes.
I know another, I'm sure you've seen a lot of other situations where God has been at work. I know you had mentioned that, one of them even was when we noticed there was a video where we saw the complete houses, the wall just falling down. And you had said that was a miracle in itself that, you know, that because a lot of the other houses that were like, say, brick or just, or any other houses, there were particles falling down all over inside the house and people died, you know, when stuff fell on top of them. But some of those houses where the walls, you said, fell outside instead of inside on the people. So that too, you had mentioned was a miracle. Mm-hmm. So people can see the hand of God on that then too, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Because, it's like a lot of people would see a hand of God and most of those photos that you have shown on the slides of walls falling down. A lot of them could have been falling inside and there was kids inside. There were moms and dads inside because a lot of them were bedrooms, you know. And so, but a lot of them were falling from the outside, which also happened in a miraculous way. On one village, all of the houses were falling.
Mm-hmm.
But walls were falling out. So that was another miracle that people kept coming and saying, this is, we don't know what's going on. He said a lot of homes are falling in and covered people, but we are okay. I mean, it fell from outside. They worry about their homes, but they're celebrating about their lives being spared. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so you've already said that the government is taking care of the people with the basic foods and water and all that stuff. So we're thankful for that. And you'd mentioned that people that don't go to the government camps, they're staying back to that. They're watching their houses so that thieves don't break in. So that's what they're doing. So your ministry is actually you are trying to help the people that have not gone to the government camps because they're left back watching their houses so that thieves don't come and steal their stuff. So like the people in the video, those are people from the village that the people were swept away and that they lost the village. And you are helping those people with the food and the clothing and materials and all that stuff. So we thank you for that. So, and I know, so do the Malawians, do they see a lot of hope then for their lives then? Do they see a lot of, you know, like even rebuild the rebuilding process? Do they think that it's going to, are they just trusting God, you know, to help them, or helping, or hoping that other people like the government or other organizations will help them, or where are they getting their hope from? Because I know they're not all Christians.
A lot of them don't have hope, really, those that are not Christians, because they have to do things on their own. They think like they can do it on their own. And that takes forever, and sometimes forever. I mean, we have seen rains that have brought down people's homes down. But then these people, they're the ones that we are wanting to bring hope as Christians. We're wanting to say, God hasn't left you. That's why a lot of them that we have also been giving food, not all of them are members. Not all of them are Christians. Some are even Muslims. Some are even different people that are people. A lot of them have just lost hope. They said, whatever comes in our way. For now, that's why a lot of them, when we bought them a plastic paper just to cover their homes temporarily, they saw a little hope, and we saw smiles in the first time. You know, giving them a plastic paper to them was like we have given them millions, you know, because they didn't even have money to buy the plastic paper. So a lot of them, I can say, they don't have hope. That's why our duty as Christians is to bring hope to those that are hopeless. I mean, that's why the church, we have taken that precaution, and that's why if we can find more help that can go to them, that can give them hope. Now, those that are under government watch list, the ones that are in the camps, every time the government is telling them that maybe as soon as the water completely stops, as soon as it stops raining, some people have already started rebuilding their homes. Like some organizations, non-government organizations, those that their homes are where in the upper area, that is okay for people to rebuild. So people are rebuilding now. But the other people don't have hope at all, like in the villages that I go to, because they're typically in the village and nobody's following them in the village. So those are the ones that we need to bring hope to.
Yeah. Well, I love how you know, when you minister to the people and when you bring them the food, you bring them hope. Because I know about 2 days ago, you sent me some more pictures. They're not on this PowerPoint, but you sent me more pictures. And you said that today we were able to help 17 more families. And you showed me pictures of you know, the bags of food and, you know, all this, you know, like that. And you said we still have 19 more families that are still in need. And I remember, you know, I said something like, you know, praying, you know, I'll be praying that, you know, they'll be able to get, you know, more help soon I prayed that they would be still hopeful, and that they also, that they wouldn't be jealous, because I thought, you know, here, if you're you're hungry, some of these people don't get to, like you told me, they don't get to eat at all a day or maybe one meal. And, you know, you kind of wonder, what's it like? You see all these other people getting supplies, and then you have all these other people just wish, you know, being like, man, I wish I had some. And so I had asked you if, you know, if they were, you know, I'd be praying that they wouldn't be jealous or, you know, but that they would be hopeful. And I loved your response, because you said, and I'm going to read it right here. You said, yes, we always encourage them that they should rejoice when others are being assisted, and that their assistance will soon allocate them. And I just love that. So you're teaching the people to, you know, rejoice when other people have been blessed, and be hopeful that your assistance will come soon. And I just love that about you and your ministry, how you do bring help and you get them to, you know, rejoice when other people are blessed. And so that's great. So, okay. So I know before Cyclone Freddy happened, there was actually a cholera outbreak. And so, you know, so I know that the flooding and the mudslides from Cyclone Freddy made the water and the sanitation even worse. So I know your ministry does a lot of water wells and tries to help with the, you know, with the people so that they can have clean water. And this is even, you were doing water wells even before the cholera outbreak. But so can you briefly say, tell the people what cholera is, in case people don't know what cholera is, and then how is it spread. And then after that, I'm just going to show a couple pictures of, you know, the water, some of the water well stuff. But if you can briefly share about cholera, how it's spread, and then we can talk a little bit about the water wells project that you're working on.
All right. So the cholera is a waterborne disease. It normally comes because of the water pollution. The bacteria that is in it is found in there is because of the water pollution. And in Malawi, we have a lot of that in the villages because people, they run into the streams and river, to wash their clothes. To wash their garden produce, to wash even their baby I don't know, you guys have diapers in Malawi. Before diapers, now some dead people have diapers, but a lot of villagers don't use diapers. They use clothing around the baby, so when the baby has done the diaper is bad, they go and wash in the same water. And that's how waterborne disease is born. And then also with these heavy rains that have rained, maybe they would carry bad stuff, like maybe a dead dog or something. And so the people would still draw water from the rivers and go cook with the same water and go drink with the same water. And then that's how the waterborne disease called cholera starts spreading. Now, way back, we started the water project, which we would go to the villages and then dig a hand-dug water well and put a pump so they can have a safe water, self-natural filtered water. So that's what we have been doing. And that has been also helping. And that has been helping a lot. So now it's like with these Freddy cyclones that have happened. Come October, come September, we start in August. Come August, September, October, there'll be a lot of need of water because a lot of water have been polluted. And right now the government is giving them chlorine to kill the germs in the water. But then it's not all the time that the chlorine is available. That's why a lot of people in those months we suffer a lot, and we still have cholera around as well, though a lot of cases haven't been reported because people are busy helping and assisting with these Freddy victims in the hospitals. Yes, so I could give more of that. That's what more I could say about the water and the cholera, how it starts.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm just going to briefly show this real quick. Okay, this is where you guys are praying over the land.
Yes, yes, we always bless the land before.
You want to share what that is real quick?
Yes, especially so it came right on my screen again. This okay. So when we start digging the water well, we dig in dry season, which is August, September, October, and November, early of November. These are the dry season in Malawi where the water table has gone
recording
down.
Recording stop. So recording in progress.
So the So the people, when we dig the water in these months, when we find the water table, which means when we start rebuilding the water well, that makes us be sure that the water will never run dry. Because when we find the water table in a dry season, which means we find the water. So here where you're seeing right now, that's the first water table. The water looks like dirt. The water just looks like dirt. That's the first water table. And then we keep on digging until we find
recording in progress.
Then we dig the second water table. And then we dig the third water table. And then that's where we find a lot of water. And then we start building it from bottom to top. Yes. That's the part I enjoy most. So after we dig the whole water well and we finish it up, and then we give it maybe a week for the cement to cure, and then we come in with an opening ceremony whereby we give people physical water that they have been needing. Then we also give them the spiritual water. Where we quote from Jesus when he was sitting on the pool of Bethsaida and he's telling that lady that if you drink, I can give you the water, the living water. So then when we give that to the people, we will also preach Christ to them and they receive Jesus Christ so that they can be Lord and person of their Savior. So that's the part of the ministry of doing the water wells so that we can win more souls. As we also give them the need of wanting to have the water.
Yes, I love that. And the people are so excited when they get the water well because they're having to walk for miles barefoot just to get clean water. And so, God bless you for doing that. And
a lot of people, I can say on the walking part, a lot of them, they have to walk sometimes 17 miles to 20 miles. Carrying a bucket of water on top of their heads to where they can find a very water to drink. So that's why we go in the village so that they don't have to walk a long ways. And because even if we hire the truck to dig, the truck won't get into the areas that we get into because there's no roads to get to there with the truck. That's why we do the hand dug water wells. So that we can bring the water closer to the people, so that they don't have to walk some 20 miles, 17 miles, 15 miles just to carry the water. Yes.
Yeah, and it's little kids. You see little kids on top of their head. You know, little kids will carry water, and the women. You don't see the men carrying the water. You know, I've never saw men, but the ladies do. So, okay, I'm going to ask just one more question, and then we're going to let the audience see if maybe the audience has a few questions. But can you tell us that there'll be somebody that would be like, man, my heart's really touched. I would love to help with your water well project. How much does a water well cost from start to finish, a hand well, water well? How much does it cost to build?
A hand wall from start to finish, it cost about $3,500, like 3,500 in your language, but it's about 3,500. That's how much a water well costs, a hand dug water well. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. All right. So this has been great. I've enjoyed asking you the questions for the audience. And so if the audience has any questions that they want to ask Upe, feel free to put them in the chat. And I know Shelley's going to call on you and ask you. So I appreciate that, Shelley.
Okay. Let's see here. Taking a look. There's a lot of good comments. Seen this even in my own house where I have Psalm 91 and the poisonous plants do not grow on the property. The falling on outside, not the falling on the inside, is a miracle itself. Amen. Where there is life, there is hope. How to attend to the next commitment. Thanks for the info. Oh, have to attend. That person had to go. I'm sorry. How can they build houses on stilts or secure them from this kind of disaster in the future? Is that a possibility, do you think, Upe? Is anyone talking about building house on stilts? Some of our houses on coastlines in the U.S. are built on stilts for that reason, because they get the, we call them hurricanes, but they're like cyclones.
I think the thing is because a lot of these guys, they don't have the materials to build that. Like, you have to buy those stuff to build a stronger house. So a lot of them, because they don't have what it takes to do that, so they just build with what they can manage to.
Yes, I mean, you know how the weathermen will sometimes say, well, this was a once in a 100-year flood, or this was a once in a 500-year flood. Well, this was a once in ever in history disaster. This had never happened in Malawi before. They had no history of mud running down from the mountains and covering over houses and people and businesses, and this water just coming and coming. How many weeks was it that it rained?
It rained close to 3 weeks.
Oh. Well, Upe, I'd like to know, is the government doing something about trying to identify who's missing? Is there any kind
yes.
of organization applied to that?
Yes. So far, they have. Okay, we had choppers in the air that have gone across Malawi where the victims were affected, because some victims are still they're still on ice. They're on their own because the road networks have been cut off. There's no vehicles that can go and back and forth. So they're using choppers to go and assist those people. And then they're also going through the people that they have found to say, is this the whole of your family? And they said, no, someone is still missing. So we also have military guys that are working on the ground, that are working to still look, even if they cannot find, if they can find a dead body, and then they can say, we have allocated. But then, yeah, they're still working on that. Still, definitely, if you find someone, you know, it'd be a dead body because it has been so long. But they're still doing that.
Wow. That's going to take a while, it seems like. And so the families are just wondering. They're still hoping maybe my loved one will be found alive. Maybe, you know, they're just on the other side
yeah.
of the thing where the trucks can't go.
Yeah. There are still scenarios whereby you go to this camp, maybe I can say maybe 50 miles away from the other camp, and you still find someone that their relative are 50 miles to the other camp. So the government names from this camp to this camp to see if the names are matching, and to say, this is your relative, is this your son, is this your wife, is this, that's what they're doing right now as well.
Wow. Wow, that's a huge job.
Yes.
In terms of population, how many, just a rough estimate, how many people would you say were involved in the disaster, affected by it? Do you have any idea?
On that one, I haven't been able to say, so I might say a wrong figure, but there are a lot of people that have been displaced from their homes. We're talking about thousands of people that have been displaced and that have lost their homes. Yeah, we're talking about a lot of thousands of people. Yeah.
So what about medical care? Are there any clinics that are open to take care of people?
That's where the government comes in with all the help that they're receiving. They are in the camps. They are also having a clinic. Also in the government hospitals. A lot of government hospitals were built strong, so a lot of them did not fall. So in there, they have treatment that they're receiving. However, in the villages where I'm going into, that's something that is needed. That's something that's needed because we still have some nurses that go in the village to assess the remaining people in the village that they have decided to rebuild their homes to see if they can give them some painkillers and some medical assistance. Yes.
Wow.
But there's more needed help to buy medical. There's needed to buy because even in our church we were thinking that if we had the medical materials, and then we could have some volunteers that we had nurses that would open a clinic for the smaller ones.
You're saying in some of these answers that the government is doing this or doing that. In terms of the aid that has been sent by other countries, the U.S. and maybe neighboring countries in Africa or whoever, do you feel like that money is actually getting out to help the people? Is it even possible to tell? Because we hear a lot of times that we send money and it never gets to the people. But you feel like your government's doing a pretty fair job in a bad situation?
On that one, then, it's also tough because we have a lot of corruption. That one, I have to be honest. We have a lot of corruption in Malawi whereby you send money to do this and you hear that the money is vanished, like some money has just used it, misused it. But however, the government has really, they have really enforced the security of the things around because of this Cyclone Freddy. We have military personnel every corner watching, and we have a lot of police in every aspect. They're involving anything that has to do with the donation through the government has those aspects to make sure that people are getting help. However, we have a lot have also been caught stealing. A lot have been caught stealing the donations and also answering those charges.
You know what, Upe, here in the U.S., we used to feel really sorry for people in other countries where there was a lot of corruption. But in recent years, we found out we may have the worst corruption of anywhere. It's very disturbing. And Australia is no exception either, Troy. So that's like a worldwide problem with these politicians that line their pockets with the money. And the people still go on suffering, but I'm glad. It sounds like the Malawi government is actually stepping up to do their best, but it's the problem is getting it to the villages. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes, in the villages, in most cases, it's tough because then, okay, the people that are in the villages, in most cases, when they're being helped, you find out that okay, the money that comes, you find out maybe to help one person costs a lot of money. And the people that we have in the camps are a lot than the ones that we have in the villages. So for the government to help all the people in the camps and then to come in the villages, that's where the problem is. So that's where a lot of churches, they're going in the villages to see if they can help. That's why you see our church, we have been able to raise some funds that we're able to buy some food and little things. We really want to build them homes, because then if you build them homes, you give them something stronger. And, also even if we can manage just to build, if we can have enough help, support to build the walls that just fall and enforce the whole house made with a plaster with a strong cement. That will also help a lot. Yeah.
That's a great plan. And I love it that the body of Christ in Malawi is reaching out to do the practical hands-on help. That's Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's Jesus in action. Yeah.
Yes.
Let me see if we've got another question here. I don't think so. Beth, it seems like there's a need for some funding here. What do you want to tell us about that? Is it time to tell about that? I don't mean to jump over anything.
Yeah, we can. So if for the funding, if anybody wants to donate, you know, they can go to, you're going to be getting a replay link. You'll be getting a replay email actually that, E2000 always sends after each webinar. There's always a replay that goes out, email, and it'll have the replay and it'll be a link on there that'll say, okay, here's the link that you can go and click on this. It'll take you directly to the donate page. And then on the donate page, you'll just put Cyclone Freddy Relief, in the comment section. So be on the lookout. Probably, I don't know, I'm not sure if the email will come out today or tomorrow, but it'll, you know, mention that here's the replay link if you missed the video or the webinar, or if you want to watch it again, and then just look for that little, you know, link and it'll take you straight to there. And so you could also, now if you could, that's the easiest way, but you can also go to the main website, justice777.net. And if you go to that one, that's the main website. And then on the homepage, if you kind of scroll down a little bit, you know, on the homepage, just scroll down maybe 2/3 of the way to the bottom. It also has a donate button. So either way, you can do that. And that's the way you can donate. And what I love, one of my favorite scriptures is, I love Matthew 25:37-40, because that's where the righteous ask the Lord. You know, they said, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When were you thirsty and we gave you something to drink? You know, when did we see you as a stranger and we invited you in, or you needed clothes and we clothed you? When were you sick and when were you in prison? You know, we don't remember doing that, you know, visiting you. Or and the king said, you know, Jesus will say, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me. So that just reminds us that, you know, whenever we help somebody, giving them food or even a glass of water, or if we, you know, give money to give clothes, or we visit somebody and, you know, take care of them if they're sick, or whatever we do for one person, we're actually doing it for the Lord. Because Proverbs 19:17 also says that when you give to the poor, it's like lending to the Lord and he'll pay you back. And so, you know, I just want to thank people in advance for, you know, any help we can give. You know, obviously the people need prayer. So we just appreciate you guys continuing to pray for Upi and his ministry, Canaan International Ministries. We appreciate you praying for, you know, the rescue teams that are still looking for people. We appreciate you praying for the families that have gone through trauma and they've lost loved ones, and just, you know, they need so much prayer. But you know, the Justice Network is one where we don't want to just pray. We want to take action. We want to take action. What can we do? Take an active part. And so that's why we're having this. So God bless you for any amount of money that you guys can give. And, so that's how you donate. And if you want to connect to Upi, I'll let him come on and he can just share. Maybe he can, you know, he can give you either his email address. If he wants to, you know, connect through Facebook or WhatsApp, you know, he'll mention how he wants to share. So you can go ahead, and if you want to share, Obey, how would you like, if somebody wants to connect with you? I know you don't always have internet. The one good thing is WhatsApp, or you know, there's Facebook. So what would be the best way if somebody just, you know, wants to connect with you? How could they connect with you?
They can find me on, I can still be checking the emails later since I have the Wi-Fi. Then you can give the email address that we use. I can say it here, but then I think you have it. If you can just write it down, then they could email me, or they can find me on WhatsApp. But in most cases, I would they come through you. If they can find you, and then you can be able to connect me to them.
Okay.
How about that? I think that works for me, because then you can, because then I talk with you on WhatsApp, because that's the easier communication I have. But maybe they don't have WhatsApp, you know?
Okay. So either what, or you are on Facebook, so they could look you up on Facebook, right, too?
Yes, and they can look me up on Facebook and Upe Mike Mwampeta. Yes.
Okay. And they can look at their emails, and they can see exactly how to spell your name. And then your email is upeforchrist@gmail.com, right?
Yes. Yes, that's my email.
Okay. upeforchrist@gmail.com.
Yes.
Okay. All righty.
There we go. That's it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
We did have one more question.
Okay.
And that was, Upe, do you still have some family staying or sleeping in your church?
Yes, we have them not in the church now. We have some family that we have moved them and are still on the church campus where we're building some offices. So we have moved them and allocated them in the offices. We have allocated them in there. Like we have about, so far now we have 10 families that are in there.
So they have a little bit of privacy?
Yeah, so they can have a little bit of privacy. And these are families that their homes where we are waiting if we can renovate their homes as soon as we can, then we'll move them now back into their homes, because their homes need...
Need help. Very good. Very good. Well, you know, I put justice777.net in the chat. It's so easy to donate on that. You go straight to that site, and you got to scroll quite a ways down the page. Like Beth said, it's about 2/3 of the way down, and you get to where it says donate. And you just get on there. It's easy as can be to do it. And it'd be good to put in the comment for Cyclone Freddy. Assistance or aid. But, you know, sometimes a person can be in a pinch between paychecks or something. So make a note of this. So if today's not a real good day to do it, you can do it a little bit later, or to do it on a regular basis for a while. Okay. Until this thing has been squared away in Malawi, we could continue to send. That would be a wonderful thing as well. And, yeah, and so Beth has just put in there about one person asked, are these donations through justice777.net tax deductible? Those are not. But Beth has just told us, if you want to make a significant donation and would like to have a tax deduction, you can send it to Everything in Christ Ministries. So you can email Beth at bdomston@gmail.com if you want to ask for more. So that's in the chat. And, you know, if you want to save your chat, you go down to the bottom of that column, and there's those little icons there on the left and followed by three little dots. Click the three little dots, and it'll save that chat with these important sites and contacts in it. Who else has a question?
No. I'll just add, Shelley, with that, and the reason why I put that in the chat was because somebody had asked. So we minister with Upe, you know, and we're going to be going back over to Africa, and we send stuff over there through Western Union or whatever. But we just received our 508C1A just last Friday that we've been waiting for. So now we are tax deductible. We can give somebody tax, you know, receipt. So if somebody does want to purchase a water well or whatever they want to do, and they want the receipt, they go ahead and they can contact me. They can write it out to our ministry, and then we'll send the check off to UPE, you know, since we kind of worked them anyway. So I just wanted to put that in because I didn't want anybody to not give because they didn't get to get a receipt. So
I am so glad you did, Beth, and we know 100% of that will go straight to, and of course it will through Empower 2000.
Yeah.
I want to tell something about Beth. Okay. Go ahead, Beth, and then I will.
I was going to say now the ministry is called Everything in Christ Ministries. Now this, I was just going to say, if you try to look it up on the online, you won't find it because we've been ministering for, you know, for years, but this is one that we just started with the 508. So we're in the process of doing a website and all that stuff. So it is legit. It, you know, we have the paperwork, but we just don't have anything online. And I will tell you with UPE as well, he's with Canaan International Ministries. And I just want you to know if you try to look it up, you're not going to find a website, you know, on there. And because I had asked them with that too, and they said over in Africa, you know, it's just harder to, you know, put a website together and this and that. But he does have the official paperwork. He's registered with the Malawian government, you know, so I mean, he's legit and all that kind of stuff. And they recognize him as that. They use him. The chiefs call him and all that. But I just want to let you know that if you're one of those who does the research and are looking up for his ministry or looking up for mine, I'm just telling you, you won't find it. But we are 100%. You can rely on us 100%, you know.
Well, I wanted to share with you that God has been working through Beth's life for the last 3+ years. In the latter part of 2019, Beth and I were in Legacy Dream Team 3, along with 10 other people and our leader, Michael Weiss. And Beth's big dream that she shared during that time, that 12-week course, was that she wanted to be able to do certain things in Africa, in Malawi, which she'd already been to a few times, but she wanted to increase her reach, increase her sphere there in what she could do and how she could help. Well, coming out of the dream team, when Dr. Joseph Peck understood what Beth's dream was, and that she also, basically, her dream had a lot to do with the survivors of human trafficking and helping them, providing for them, providing not only a way out of that situation, but a way into a whole new life, hopefully in Christ, and putting together things that would support that transition. So anyway, when Dr. Peck found out about this, about her dream and so on, he said, well, Beth, I feel like you should do webinars on these subjects. You should put this out, you know, to the public, and we can support that in Empower 2000. You can do it on our platform. We'll advertise it through our emails and so on and so forth. So that's how we came to be here today. And this whole thing about the 508C1A that she has put in the chat, you know, we're used to hearing 501C3. The 508C1A is a much more flexible and freedom-oriented structure than the other one. And we were talking about this. We still meet with Legacy Dream Team 3 the second and fourth Thursdays of the month, every month. And so we were talking about this earlier in the year. Beth, did you ever do that? Did you ever? No, we haven't. Well, Michael Weiss knew of a website that where you can get help from other believers who are helping the body of Christ set these things up to have them. So it's, Beth, that wasn't very long ago, was it?
Mm-mm.
Was that in January or February when we talked about it?
No, it was like just a month ago. It just took us, it was just a month. Yeah.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
Great. So it took 1 month and they did spend some money. What did you spend? About $2,000 or was it more?
I think it was $2,500. Yeah.
Okay. To get that all set up and done in a month. Glory to God. Glory to God. So now she is able to receive those donations and send them right on through to UPE and his crowd. So this, I wanted to testify to what God has done through Beth and her husband, Lyndon. Okay. Because this is a big deal. It's a real big deal. And we appreciate any giving, appreciate all the prayers. And back to you, Beth.
Yes. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Shelley, for explaining a little bit about that. And the reason why we're having people go through E2000, you know, or going to the Justice Network, because we just figured it would be a lot easier to you know, get a email, you know, with the replay link, and then they can easily just click on that, and it's just so much easier. So if you're not worried about, or, you know, if you don't want a receipt, that's the easiest way. You know, you can just click on that and just have it go through there. But I did want to mention everything in Christ. And so if people wonder, why didn't you just go through everything in Christ? Also, because we just got it on Friday, and so we're still getting stuff set up. But, you know, guys, but you know what? I was praying that it would come through before the webinar, and that was an answer to prayer. So if we wouldn't have got it, I wouldn't have been able to offer you, you know, that option. And so you just see God's hand in everything, that, you know, God's timing is perfect in everything. And so, anyways, I appreciate that. So now I know that we're kind of running out of time here. I know the webinar is getting about time where we need to close. So I just want to remind everybody, too, that go ahead and share the replay link when it becomes available. You know, post your comments on the replay page. We would love to hear your feedback. You know, what stood out, you know, maybe what action step are you going to take, or, you know, whatever you want to say. We would love to hear that. When you watch the replay, you know, there's comment sections that you can write that down. So, you know, I just want to thank everyone for attending. I thank you, Upe, for sharing, and I thank you for all that you've done to help the people in Malawi, you know, for all that you will continue to do and all that you've already done, you know. And so I think we're going to go ahead and, Upe, if you want to say a closing prayer, and then I will come back really quick and then say a few comments as well.
All right. So shall we close our eyes in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the honor. We thank you that you do not share with any, you don't share your glory with anybody else, Lord. We give you all the thanks, Father, my God, for the people that have the giving heart, the people that have the willing heart, Father, my God, to give to you, because they're doing it for you, Lord, because for your people here in Malawi. And I also thank them for their time. I thank them for all the things that they had, all the courage to stand and also to be with us in these meetings, Lord. I bless their businesses. I bless everything that their hand touches that is blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray that you enlarge their territories of whatever they do, all of their financial, Lord, but my God, that you heal their financial, that you multiply it, Lord, because you are the God of miracle. So that the people that I've also given here, Father, the people that are here in Malawi that are receiving this, Father, my God, that will be able to help their homes, to rebuild their homes, to have clothes, to have food, to have everything that is needed. Lord, we bless you, Father, my God, as we have come to an end of this program, that you bless us all as we go back into our daily lives, I think that we do. Lord, bless us all in the mighty name of Jesus, I've prayed. Amen.
Amen. Okay.
Thanks, Upe. Thanks for taking time to be with us. We appreciate you.
Yes, we do. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. Let me see what.
Now, what about Esther and your daughter?
Can I come again?
Yeah. What about Esther and your daughter?
Beth?
I just thought we could say hi to them. No.
Yeah. Are they coming?
Yeah, they are rushing. They're coming.
Oh. What up? What up? They're rushing.
the little trouble and is sleep, she says. But she's rushing real quick, I think.
That was sudden, no warning, sorry.
I look forward to going back to Malawi because I haven't seen little Cindy yet. I haven't personally met her yet. So I'm looking forward to playing with her one day. So, okay, here's Esther. Hi, Esther.
Hi,
Esther.
I didn't get an email.
We're doing great. Yeah, it's great to see you.
Thank you.
Where's little Cindy? Is little Cindy coming? Oh, she went to sleep already.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, we're glad we got to see you.
Yes, we wanted to meet you.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, even for a moment. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yes. God bless you guys. Yeah. And we say, may the Lord bless you guys and keep you. And this is for the whole audience, for everyone. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Give you his favor and his peace, his shalom in Jesus' name. And know that we are praying for you guys. And for all the people in Malawi, you know, we're praying, you know, we have you guys in our hearts. Of course, we've had you guys, Lynn and I have had you guys in our hearts, you guys and the whole people of Malawi for years, you know, for 11 years since we've ever, before we met you, you know. And then now even more so because of all that you guys have gone through. So, so this is great. So thank you everybody again. So it's time to say goodbye, even though we hate to say goodbye. We see you till next time, because we don't ever want to say goodbye. So it's almost like, you know, until next time, you know. And so how we usually end our webinars is, you know, we just give each other a nice big virtual hug. And we give each other a holy kiss and a virtual wave. And we just say shalom, shalom. And we just say we love you. We don't say goodbye. We say we love you. And then we say thank you for being part of our family. And just thank you guys in advance for everything which you've done. And I know, like Shelley says too, African, this is the African wave. Goodbye backwards. And I remember that because I remember when we went to Malawi, we would drive up in vehicle with Upe and Cindy, and all these little kids would come rushing around to us, and they were all, you know, they were waving to us, and I was waving goodbye when we were leaving, and I was waving, they'd all come up to us, and because I was going the wrong way. So backwards this way. So anyway, it's reverse over there. So anyways, God bless you guys. Thank you. Thank you, Shelley, for helping us out, and Troy and everybody recording, and Bonnie, and just everyone who's helped. And I want to give a great big shout out to Dr. Peck for allowing us to have this webinar, and for allowing us to have it as a fundraiser. All the webinars that we've had before has been to inform people on different justice topics and how we can help and how we can pray and how we can make a difference in people's lives. This is the first one that we've had where we're actually raising funds for somebody. So thank you, Dr. Peck. Dr. Joseph Peck. We just really appreciate that. So we love you guys. All righty. We better get off before I keep talking.
Thank you, Beth. Love you. Thanks, Upi.
Love you guys.
Bye-bye. Blessings.
Thanks. Blessings.
Bye-bye.